Today we are continuing our series on Better Together. But for the next 3 weeks, our emphasis would be on the importance of praying together. This came about as a result of conversation with the PPRC last Wednesday, or I believe Tuesday. And also partly it's driven by my discernment on where I believe God is leading us as we move forward in the coming weeks and months ahead. As you all know, my first Sunday here 3 years ago, I began my ministry here that is bathed with prayer. For many of you, some of you were here. And through that prayer, I began to understand more about Plank Chapel. I began to understand more what is God's plan for our ministry together. And where I believe God is heading us. I believe that this coming July 15 is also as pivotal as it was 3 years ago. Because prayer helps us connect back to the will of God. Prayer opens up our own dependence on the will of God to help us understand where He wants us to be today, not just as individuals, but also as the body of Christ. That's why we're going to talk about the importance of, first, we're going to talk about the importance of personal prayer in our discipleship walk with God. But then the major portion of God's word today will be on what the Bible has to say on the priority of praying together, on communal prayer. Let us pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for this blessing of being the bearer of your word. And Lord, I know that I'm not deserving of this, Lord. But because of you, Lord, and through the work of your Spirit, help me, Lord, to be out of your way. And may you be at the center of this word. Speak to us again your word. And may we leave this place, O God, renewed, refreshed, and transformed. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Just talk to me a little bit about what do you think prayer is? Just speak from where you are. What do you think prayer is? Communication. A communication. And I'm pretty sure that communication is a back and forth communication to God and God responding. In fact, someone reminded me today at the Bethel Church that all prayers are answered in three ways. Yes, no, and wait. Isn't that amazing? And I said to one of the oldest members there at Bethel, perhaps because no, because God loves us and He wants it to do it according to His own way. And sometimes we do make a lot of prayers that are unreasonable or unattainable, right? What else? Aside from prayer as a communication, what is prayer? Correct, yeah. Correct. Thank you, Deborah. Just be open. At the awakenings this morning, people are beginning to share what they have. And someone said there, people don't pray too much because we are afraid of opening up ourselves to God because it exposes our vulnerabilities, right? It put us into a posture of submission and surrender. And that's not what we want to do, right? it's conflicting for us because we have this sinful pride that keeps us from listening and talking to God and connecting with God. So thank you. Thank you, Deborah, for sharing that. Anybody else? What is prayer for you?
I
conversation with God. And conversation can be as plain as simple. Doesn't need to be complex. It can be in utter silence. It can be as loud as you can. It's like you're talking to a friend. Thank you, Miss Donald Rose. Think about those moments in your life wherein you were taught by your church and by your pastor and your parents about prayer. When was the first time you experienced praying? I ask this question because I think it's very important for us to have this a sense of remembering. Where did it all begin? How our minds and our hearts were shaped by prayer. I'm very sure that many of you here today were partly influenced by your moms and dad who brought you to the church, who reared you and who sometimes they dragged you to the church to make sure that you pray against your will. Perhaps. And now it's become part of your habit. You've been formed and shaped. You've been transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because prayer is a spiritual lifeline for every believer. It is a direct communication. It's a direct channel to God and with God. The Bible says pray continually or unceasingly. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Is there anyone among you in trouble? Let them, come on church, pray. James chapter 5 verse 13. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. James chapter 4 verse 8. Through prayer we fellowship with the Heavenly Father and receive that divine instruction and align our minds and our hearts in the mind of Christ. That is why a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. In the life of every believer, prayer is both a shield and a weapon. It is a shield from those fiery darts of the enemy. It empowers us to take hold of our own territory or take the kingdom of God as our territory. It is a means through which God's powers is released into our lives. Without prayer, every believer remains vulnerable to every spiritual attack, the strongholds, principalities and powers, and other schemes of the enemy. Prayer makes us more like Jesus, because Jesus' life was marked by prayer. If you all remember, he prayed early in the morning. He always goes to the wilderness. He prayed before choosing his disciples. He prayed even in the cross. If you look at the life of Jesus, we see that he prayed with others, for others, and on his own. If the Son of God needed to pray, how much more should we? Prayer is not optional. In fact, it is essential in our victorious Christian life. Prayer shows the heart of God. When Jesus prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane in John 17, he prayed that all may be one, just as you are in me. Prayer helps us become one with the Father and have the kind of relationship Jesus had with the Father. And as we grow to love him, we want to be like him. Prayer reveals the wisdom of God. That's what some of you says. It's been a conversation that goes both directions. When we talk to God, we spend more time with God. And because we spend more time with God, we begin to hear what he has to say to us. And we begin to align all the things we do in our lives whether it's our schedule, it's our priorities, it's our habits, the words we say, our pocketbooks, becomes in alignment with the will of God, because we keep on asking the Lord, Lord, how can I be able to fulfill your will? How can I be able to align my minds to your mind? But given all of this, why is it that we are having a hard time praying? What's keeping us from praying? What's holding us? You know, every time I see people in the public spaces praying, it amazes me. I'm sure some of you have experienced that as well. You know, you go to a restaurant and you see families holding hands together and praying. Isn't that amazing to see in such a time as this? But we don't see a lot of that anymore. It's like we're privatizing everything, and we're sort of kind of in fear of publicly sharing our prayers, our prayer life to others. But as much as we need to have this kind of a personal prayer life, we also need to pray together. The Bible tells us that praying together is as vital and important as praying individually. The practice of praying together is deeply rooted in the scripture. In the Old Testament, if you happen to go back in the Old Testament, there's a lot of communal prayers. Prayer in community by Israelites. They gathered together to seek God's guidance and deliverance against the enemies, against those principalities and powers at that time. And in the New Testament, Jesus himself underscores the importance of collective prayer. In Matthew chapter 18, he says, "Again, I tell you, if two of you on the earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are, gather together in my name, there am I with them." I learned growing up, having this kind of Christian virtue that was planted in me by my parents. And I'm sure you heard this before. A family that prays together stays together. That's pretty true, right? And we have somehow lost that time together. And I remember growing up making sure we pray together before the meal is taken, and also before we get to bed, because we acknowledge that there is a power in praying together. Remember those moments when you held hands together with someone in the operating room, when a bunch of church folks came over, and you held hands together in prayer, praying for your loved ones. How about praying together in worship or in prayer meetings? One of those moments, and Tim, I'm so glad that you and Midge are here. I remember when we have to stop, this is almost 3 years ago. I remember when we have to stop everything that we have done because we received a call that Tim was rushed in the hospital. Do you remember those moments? He was rushed there in the hospital because he got this burn on his body. And when I immediately had the phone hang up, I asked, can we just stop what we're doing and let's go ahead and pray? You all remember that? I could not forget that, because it's one clear example of the power of praying together. That moment, I know that probably Tim was in a life and death situation. He didn't know at that time what would be the end of the story. But we knew we need to pray. We knew we need to ask God for intervention. We knew that they need our prayers. And lo and behold, that prayer was partly answered by having Tim and Midge overcame I know that it was not an easy journey as I've been there with them throughout this time. But think about those moments on how God have used that praying together. On becoming a vessel. Something powerful happened there. Only God knows. And I'm sure that for us who were there at that moment, we were all changed as well. Praying together is a vital key to opening up God's presence and work among His people in unique ways. Praying together was a priority for the apostles. As this chapter begins with the rapid multiplication of disciples, there's this kind of an infighting between the Hellenists and the Hebrews. As you notice on the text, they're so kind of in disagreement together, and because they found out that there are widows that are not receiving those food distribution. And the word distribution here in Greek word means diakonia, where the word deacon came from. So the emphasis is on serving people. What are we going to do? The widows are not getting the food that they need. So what the apostles did is that they gathered or appointed 7 men of good standing, full of spirit, full of wisdom, to oversee the distribution of all those resources. And guess what? What they did in verse 4 to do that? They first devoted themselves in what? In prayer and in serving the word. This is on verse 4. They're not referring for a private personal prayer. Instead, they were talking about ministry of mobilizing people of God to pray together. Because they acknowledge that it is our priority to align ourselves into the mind of Christ. Without praying together, it will not, our plans will not take place at all. Praying together was not just a priority for the disciples, but also this praying together is also evident, not just in Acts chapter 6, but in the other parts of the book of Acts. If we begin on Acts chapter 1, verse 13, 120 were gathered in an upper room praying in one accord when Pentecost comes. This is not just one person praying. This is 120 of them praying for the Holy Spirit to come. The disciples prayed for wisdom in knowing who Judas' replacement should be in Acts chapter 1, verse 24. When Peter and John reported the Sanhedrin threats, those gathered cried out to God in one accord for boldness. And the place was shaken where they prayed. Church, I'm not saying here that praying alone are not important. We all know from the scripture, Ananias was praying alone when God instructed him to go to Saul. Peter was alone on the rooftop when he had his famous vision leading him to share the gospel of Christ with the Gentiles, named Cornelius. But here's my point here. The majority of God's recorded workings came when His people prayed together. The focus is on God's people praying together. And the apostles considered praying together as a critical priority, much as preaching and teaching the Word of God. Finally, praying together was modeled and practiced by Christ Himself. Of the 37 instances in which Jesus refers to prayer as recorded in the scripture, 33 of them were addressed to a plural rather than a singular audience. For example, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, y'all remember what it says there, what Jesus says, "Keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you." You all remember those verbs, ask and seek and knock? They were all imperative mood. And they are directed towards a plural audience, which means that the actions can be performed by each one of us, and yet they are directed for everyone, to the whole community, and intended to a group of people. Since 1780, Plank Chapel United Methodist Church has been praying together. This week, we're going to be celebrating our 250 years of the Declaration of Independence. Think about that. We're only four, and help me, Scott, with the number, 4 or 5 years shy away from that 250 years. We have a long history, a rich history of a church that is praying together. We have a long history of a church that saw the need of praying together. Faithful saints of this church recognize the need to pray together for each one's needs, for the need of the community and the world. And they pray together Sunday after Sunday. They prayed together during the week. They prayed for healing and for comfort and forgiveness and revival. And we pray together even now. And I thank our prayer warriors who's been joining with me every Wednesday, praying since the time that God has sent us here. We have never failed to meet together for prayer. Friends, as we prepare ourselves for the July 15 churchwide prayer gathering, I invite you to ask this question. What is your prayer for life today? Have you been praying lately to God? What's keeping you in praying to God? What's holding you back? Let's prioritize praying together. Through prayer, we as a church will overcome and move mountains. And through our collective prayers, we will be fruitful and flourishing and thriving and growing as we engage ourselves in the making of disciples. We are all in this together. Amen? Let us come together and invite you all to pray for the July 15th gathering. And through our collective prayers, may we trust the Lord as He always listens to us so that we can align our hearts and our minds into the mind of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all the people of God said,